If you want to open your Bibles, let's go to. I'm going to go to Genesis 3, and I'm just going to review a couple of things. We're talking about unmasking the enemy, and you think you can hook up with me here, and we'll learn something, and just believe God with me. One of the things that was emphasized in this meeting was 6 days of meetings, and basically kind of like a camp meeting feel, if you're familiar with that. And so a lot of believers together, but one of the things that the Lord kept saying through the different ministers was that we were going to move from glory to glory. In other words, we were going to move from one level of knowing the Father and knowing Jesus to another level of knowing Him. And one of the things that in praying about 2015 and about the church here at Faith Family Church, one of the things that the Lord said to me was increase, that one word, increase. And so you might want to take that. I know we gave you some of these, which was the prophetic word that Jerry Savelle gave over 2015. And I've continued to say it, and you should too. It's not like I say it every second of every day. But I take it every once in a while, I'll take it and declare it over my own life. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Okay? Now that's true concerning your salvation, but it's also true concerning the Word of God being activated in your life. So in other words, if you want to see a promise of the Lord that you find from His book activated or operating in your life, you have to put it in your mouth. Faith speaks. That's what faith does. The number one action of faith is speaking. Now, that's not my message this morning. I love the message of faith, and we'll get there eventually, but that's not my message this morning. But one of the things that was kept being emphasized over and over in these services was, listen, we're going to step it up and step out. We're going to do more for the kingdom of God. We're not just going to stay in our own little group, but we're going to expand our thinking, expand our believing, and expand our doing, okay? And that starts with you expanding your saying. Okay? That starts with you, whether you realize it or not, you can read through the book of James and see it clearly. James said, your tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It will steer the direction of your life. The Bible says that the tongue is set on fire, or a forest is set on fire by a little spark, and it's talking about the tongue. So in other words, you can set your life on fire for God, or you can set it on fire for the enemy, depending on which one you want. And it's all dependent on what you take in and then what you let out. And the main way that you let things out of you is by your mouth. It's by your mouth. You think about it. Whoever what, if you believe in your heart and what with your mouth, confess with your mouth, speak with your mouth, you'll be what? Born again, saved, right? You mean the difference between going to heaven or going to hell is in your tongue? Isn't that amazing? There is tons who we don't even know the weight of power that lies within our tongue. Although some of you have experienced it because you've had somebody tell you something that was not nice. And you felt the weight of those words. That's why it's important to watch what you say. Okay, so. But anyway, this in these meetings, that was kind of the theme. The Lord was saying there was a lot of teaching out of Hebrews 12 about loosening weights, getting the weight off so you can run your race for God, doing what God's called you to do. There was, the Lord had me minister out of Matthew 21 about Him cleansing His temple. And in prayer, the Lord had said to me, He said, I will clean my church. I will clean my church. And He will. And the scripture that He gave me was where Jesus took the whip, the cord, and He went in and cleaned out the temple of the money changers and those who sold doves. Now, Jesus was not just in a bad mood. Okay? He had an intentional purpose. You know what I mean? He didn't like wake up that morning like, man, I can't stand these people anymore. No, He had a very specific purpose, and that is that He wants His church to function at a very high level in relationship with Him. And in order for that to happen, He has to rearrange our lives. Now, the temple in the New Testament versus the Old Testament is different. Because you realize this, you know, people will say preachers will get up, and I've probably said it too, so I can't blame any other preacher. But preachers will get up and they'll make statements like, welcome to the house of God. Listen, if you're born again and you woke up, you is the house of God. Uh-oh, somebody's going to write me a letter. I didn't use good English. I got written a bad letter after I preached, okay? Somebody sent a letter because they were live on the internet correcting my English. You know, if you do that to me, that's like fuel to the fire. I am going to look for ways to say it wrong. So anyway, it's just my fighting nature. All right. So anyway, but what I'm trying to say is this, is that if you are born again, you are the temple of God. So does God need to come in here and clean out this building? No, God's after cleaning out you. You're pure in spirit because you're born again. But your mind has to be renewed and your flesh has to be crucified. And we'll get into that eventually too. And I know I'm kind of preaching on you here a little bit and I'm not teaching yet, but we'll get to the teaching part, okay? I just want you to kind of get a sense for what the leadership was just in. I mean, it was intense. We had 3 meetings in the morning and 1 in the evening for 6 days. Of course, we didn't stay for all of them, but that's how it is. And you're just going, going, going. And it's worship and it's prayer and it's the gifts of the Spirit in operation. It's very powerful. So it fills you up and refreshes you. But that's what we want. We want that atmosphere. We want that excitement. We want the presence of God here. And I even noticed in worship, I mean, get right in. You know what I mean? Get right in. Don't waste any time. Just jump in. You know, if you've been coming consistently and don't wait. Just get in. Just get in. Jump in. Be a part of it. Because God is trying to not just, this is not, as much as Faith Family Church will grow as more and more people come, because they will, because we're going to, you know, obviously we're going to do some outreach and things like that. We're only going now 16, 17 weeks. All right. As much as it will grow, God cares about the whole, but he ministers to the individual. You know what I mean? He ministers to the individual. If you don't think God cares about the individual, and the individual is very important, just have one of your fingers not work. And see how much the individual doesn't affect you. You know what I mean by that? Have you ever had a hangnail on your toe? And it just bugs you? And bugs you? And it won't, and you're like, I can't do anything else, so I take care of this hangnail. The Lord feels the individual as much as he knows the group. So everything, don't just look at, in other words, when it comes to church, don't just think in terms of, well, we're showing up to listen, plop, into the pew. Now entertain me. You know what I mean? Now teach me something. Yes, we'll teach you something. We have something to give because we're graced and anointed to do it. But your faith is important and you need to exercise it right now in this pew. Does that make sense? It is vital that you learn how to exercise your faith every single day. Because if you don't, you can be beat. The enemy can beat you. And this will lead right into where we're at. So let's pray this morning and we'll get right into this and we'll talk about, we got about 25 minutes here. We'll talk about, unmasking the enemy, part 6, but you agree with me because remember, Jesus in Mark chapter 6, it says he went to his own hometown and he could do no mighty work there because the people would not believe in him. So if Jesus, the Son of God, was walking on the earth and he could be stopped by unbelief, do you think any other minister could be stopped by unbelief? Oh man. And you have the ability to believe because you're born again. So that means you believed, right? To get saved. That was the hardest thing. Everything else is easy. Okay? And so, anyway, that being said, let's agree and pray together, and then we'll get right into this. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Lord, we come together unified and focused on you with our minds and our hearts, relying on you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. Lord, I'm your vessel to speak through. Father, I'm not here to try and promote my will, but your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we desire to see the Word of God stabilize hearts and lives and to see the glory of God shake the city, Lord. To make a mark, to make a man named Jesus Christ famous in this city, Lord. We want to see lives that are full of life. They have life in Christ. True life, abundant life. And we know that as we trust your word and follow you, that as you teach us, and then as we do what you teach us to do, we will be blessed in what we do. So we thank you for the service. We thank you for the utterance and the words and the boldness to speak as we ought to speak. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. Give us illuminate light. Give us light to see, wisdom to know and to understand, and to just expose the enemy on all sides, every one of his attacks. Lord, you said in your word that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So we just declare poverty to every weapon of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We have prosperity in our lives, and the enemy has poverty and destruction in his life. We have life and life more abundantly because we obey and follow you, Lord, and the enemy has stealing, killing, and destroying. He can keep it. We don't want anything to do with it. We want life and life more abundantly, not only for ourselves, Lord, but then as we reach out into the community and into other people's lives that we have contact with them, Lord, we will share this abundant light with them. We thank you, Lord, for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is where I'm at. And we've looked at this before, and then we're going to go right over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We've been talking about unmasking the enemy. We are teaching on four different subjects. The first one was knowing our Father. The second one, which we're in right now, is knowing your enemy. The third one is knowing your relationship to your Father, having an understanding of your relationship with God. And the last one that we're going to look at until we move on to something else will be how to worship your Father. Okay, what we're doing is setting a foundation in our lives so that God can do big things upward. All right, because the building is only as strong as its foundation. Then in learning these things, we allow them to govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. It's to govern everything in our lives because Jesus is Lord. He's not just Savior. He's Lord. Okay, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We looked at in Isaiah 14, we looked at in Ezekiel 28, how Satan got kicked out of heaven, how he ended up on earth. And this is the confrontation that took place between Adam and Eve. You remember that God told them to control the garden, and we're going to see that they didn't, and that the enemy got in. And you'll see that the same principle will work in your life. If you don't control your garden, which is your life, through the authority of Jesus' name and the power of the Word of God, then the enemy will get into your life and mess it up too. Make sense? Okay. So we don't want to teach you to be just wimpy begging Christians. Jesus was not a wimpy begging Christian, was he? Did Jesus go around going, oh, somebody else pray for the sick? Did he do that? Was that the way he was? When you look at the life of Jesus, do you sit there and think, man, that guy's spineless? Jesus was what? He was a warrior for the kingdom of heaven. He was a mighty man. You know what I mean? You know, if you read in the Old Testament about David's mighty men, Jesus had them all beat. He was strong. I mean, so strong that if he wanted to, instead of dying for us, he could have wiped out every person that was against him right before his crucifixion. Do you remember he said, If I wanted to, I could call a legion of angels. Do you know what one angel did in the Old Testament? To what? It was like 100,000, 120,000 men. Killed them instantly. One angel. One. Who's above angels? Jesus. What can a legion of angels do? There'd be no planet. There'd be no planet. Thank God he loves us. All right, so Genesis chapter 3, here it is. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. This is verse 1. Which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was," what? "Afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Did Adam ever have a day of fear before that? No. That is the entrance of fear right there into the earth. If you could go back in time and look into the spirit world, you would know from this verse that that day a door opened and fear walked in. There was no fear prior to this. It's a wonder. It makes sense that Jesus came the way he did and preached the way he did in showing the love of God. Because how much fear was on the earth by this time? And that's what Mike was saying during in between the worship, and don't be afraid of God in the sense of he wants to kill you. He's trying to save you. Not just save you from hell, but in your day-to-day life. Amen? So we see here that Satan got into the earth in Genesis chapter 3. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll go to the New Testament now. Now, if this is your first time and you want to hear the previous messages, you can go to the website. It's faithfamilybillings.com, and you can download the messages or listen to them online, whichever you choose. And there's no charge. It's all free. So just you can catch up to where we're at if you want to do that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, okay? This scripture, Paul was taught by the Holy Ghost about this situation in Genesis 3, and this is what Paul, what the Holy Spirit told Paul. He said this, I'll start in verse 2. "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy," this is 2 Corinthians 11, 2, "for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So he's comparing your relationship with God to a marriage relationship. Then he says this, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent did what? Deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your what? Minds," does it say bodies? What does it say? "Minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Let me ask you something, okay? I know some of you are looking at her taking notes, but think with me here. Did Satan charge into the garden and deck Adam? Knock him down, then grab Eve and, you know, mug her. You know what I mean? He'd take her purse. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe Adam just got her a nice purse. I don't know. Come on, think with me. I know it's not in the Bible, but you need to laugh, okay? did Satan, in other words, did Satan barge into the garden and just start ripping trees out of the ground and throw everybody out of the way and just take over the garden? No. Does Satan do that today? No, he doesn't. The only place that Satan can actually get those things to happen is where he's been given access and somebody's yielding to him. Okay? Look at this again. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11, 3. "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent did what to Eve? Deceived her by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." What you are seeing right in this verse is the number one way that the enemy attacks. Okay? The number one way, this is the number one way that Satan attacks our lives. Through what? Thoughts. Imaginations. Okay, now listen to me closely because I want you to hear this. Okay? You are never going to be able to stop thoughts from coming to you. Okay? Anybody ever had a weird thought? Everybody should be raising their hand right now. If not, we'll let you repent later. Everybody's had a weird thought. I have weird thoughts come to me before I preach. It's true. Why? The enemy's looking to get in. He's looking to cause division. He's looking to get my mind off of what I have to do, which is in my heart. Now you think about this. Brother Hagin said this. Okay, listen carefully. Because you're never going to stop thoughts from coming to you. Brother Hagin said it this way. "You can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." Okay? Now if you came in here, on a Sunday morning and there was a nest of birds in your hair, I would wonder how that would happen. Now, how did the birds get? I just can't get the birds out. Well, you're bigger than the birds. Yeah, but they keep bringing sticks and then they get in my hair and I can't get them out. Does that make sense? No. But what if you came here on a Sunday morning and you said to me, you know, four birds flew over our car on the way here. Would I think that was normal? Yeah. But if they were all on top of your head in a nest, would I think that was normal? No. Nobody should. Okay? All right? That's not normal. So what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is the enemy's in the earth, but he doesn't have to live in your mind. He doesn't have to. You know, we are so conditioned to our surroundings and our environment that we're used to living in darkness. And so we have to be trained or have our mind renewed to live outside of darkness and in light. Because the reality is Christ lives in you and there's no greater light than him. And since he lives in you and that light is there, we have to renew our mind and crucify our body in order to enjoy the fullness of what that is. Does that make sense? So that's what we're looking at with this. This is the enemy's attack right here. You ever had, you know, people say, well, thoughts can be, you know, thoughts, and really thoughts are not words. Thoughts are pictures, right? We've talked about this before. If I said to you apple, you don't see the word apple. You see an apple in your mind. People don't realize this, but let me ask you this. Have you ever sat down, like I'll do this all the time because I work construction. I'll do this all the time. I'll sit down before I send the guys off to do what they're supposed to do. And mentally, if I've walked through a house, I'll close my eyes and walk through it with my mind first and think about what I need to do that day. You don't realize you're doing it all day long. It's so normal to you. So depending on what you have inside of you, what is walking through your mind all day long? That person hates me. Should you be meditating on the fact that a person hates you all day long? What happens when, have you ever had somebody do you wrong? Everybody should raise their hand too. Okay. What happens when somebody does you wrong? Now you don't see him for a while, but then you see him again. What comes back? The thought and then what else? All the emotion. All the imagination. All the, have you ever done this? I've done this. I've had somebody get really mad at me. I've had somebody, and this was when I was in Bible school, that we were playing basketball and something happened. He didn't like it. So I apologized to him. I said, look, I didn't know I did it because I didn't know I did it, you know. And he took it real personally. And this guy was older than me by probably 10, 15 years. Pretty stout, short, stocky guy. And so the game was over. I didn't do anything intentionally. And when we were walking away, he shoved me in the back. Like I felt like I was in high school again. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We're going to meet by the bike racks after school. You know what I mean? That's what I felt. I'm in Bible school. I'm at Rhema. And this happened. Okay? He shoved me in the back. You know what that makes me want to do? You don't push me in the back. I mean, if you're going to push me, at least do it to my face. You know what I mean? That's what I felt like at that moment. Of course, I was sanctified enough not to do anything, which is probably good because I probably got beat up anyway. I wasn't real healthy then. I'd only been saved a little while. I was still recovering from my former life. So, but my point is that whenever I saw that person, those feelings and emotions would rise up because we're going to the same school and the same church, you know? And I'm thinking, so whenever I saw that person, I literally, now this is a church of about, at that time, was a church of about 5,000 people, okay? And I walked into the sanctuary. If I saw him coming the other way, I'd go the other way because I didn't want to deal with it. Finally, I got to praying about it, and the Lord said, I want you to bless him with something. And so I think I had a watch and some shoes. I think is what it was. No, it was just a watch. And I gave him this watch. It was a Kenneth Cole watch. It wasn't bad. It was nice. It was, how much was it? Like $125 or something like that? That's what it was. Anyway, so I gave him the watch. Why? Because I wasn't going to let that control me. I wasn't going to allow the enemy to what? Build a nest in my hair. Does that make sense? And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, look, guys, you are allowing the enemy to deceive your mind. This is not hand-to-hand combat. This is mental warfare. This is covert that the enemy does. He puts a thought in your head. Well, you don't really like that person anyway. You need to stop right then and go, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I don't have to like him. I have to love him. God's not asking you to hang out with people that you just don't get along with. You know what I mean? You ever been around somebody that just grates you over and over again? God's not saying you have to hang out with them, but you do have to allow the meditation of your heart and your mind to be the love of God towards them. You do. You have to control your mind. It is your responsibility. It is your mind. And we take every thought. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, and I'll show you this. So he's a deceiver. It means to give a false impression. That's what it means. Satan is constantly giving false impressions. And he doesn't want you to have your mind corrupted. Corrupted means to change from the correct or original form. Remember we talked about what violence meant? The word violence, because the scripture says in Isaiah 14, and I think in Ezekiel 28, but it talks about Satan was full of violence. It means a what? A disruption in the divine order of things. A disruption in the divine order. That's the same principle that you're seeing right here. When thoughts come to you that are not of God, it is the enemy attempting to disrupt the divine order. You're never going to make it. You're not going to overcome. The money won't be there. Aha. Who do we know it's from? Is it depressing? Is it down? Did you cry over it? Who did it come from? The enemy. The enemy. I know people that are so, they've been burnt out in churches that they will not darken the door of a church. They won't. I know people that are just so frustrated with church. They've been so hurt that they won't darken the door of a church. In other words, they won't come in. Why? Well, one, the healing has to happen. Now, you need to get healed. Because have you ever been in a situation where you were really hurt? I have. But does that mean God's given up on his system? No, he didn't change. He didn't change. Does that make sense? He didn't change. He's the same. Was it fair what they did to Jesus? Was it fair? When they crucified him, was that fair? No. But did Jesus give up on humanity? Nope. He went right back to him. And the ones that reject him, reject him. So he walks away. But those that receive him, like you and me, I'm going to receive him. I'm going to receive everything that I possibly can. You realize that? I mean, that may sound greedy, but I'm flat going to do it. Because he's promised it to me, but that's our heart for you too. That Jesus is more than enough. Oh my goodness. He's got too much. He's the best. So, what do we do with these thoughts? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll probably wrap it up right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's just back a page or maybe even just over a page. Starting in verse number 3 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, how many are walking in the flesh? Pinch your neighbor. All right. We do not what? War according to the flesh. Okay. Now last night on TV, there were some MMA fights. Okay. On Fox Sports. All right. I like sports. And these MMA fights are on. Okay. Those guys are not warring in the spirit. Okay? And if they are, man, they were bleeding a lot. Okay? Because, and you know, people say, well, what about, I mean, you don't want to talk about sports. Really? Paul did. I think Paul was a sports man. I really do. I think he probably attended the Olympics. Yeah, he liked it. I mean, he liked boxing. The Bible talks about beating the air or boxing. It talks about running your race. Athletics are good. Sports are good. Okay. So anyway, that's my little sports plug. All right. So these guys were fighting hand to hand or foot to face or man, they're doing everything. You know what I mean? I think the only thing they can't do is like bite. That's about it. I mean, they're going at it, right? And so they're fighting in the flesh. Now, is the church supposed to fight that way? No. Now, no. I mean, there is a time to fight in the flesh. And if you read Romans 13, you'll see it. Okay? So I'm not talking about that. That's a different thing. But what for the specific thing that we're talking about right now, we are called to spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is not putting on army fatigues and getting into a helicopter and flying to in the air and yelling at all the princes of the power of the air. That is not spiritual warfare. That is, and sweating, you know what I mean? Praying so hard you sweat. You're yelling until you're hoarse, okay? That is not going to intimidate the devil. The devil is controlled or dealt with or resisted when you follow biblical principles and declare the word of God to him. Does that make sense? Now, that is not spectacular enough for some people. They just think, no, I've got to yell at him. I'm so mad at him. Being mad at him isn't going to do you any good. You've got to speak the word in faith. If you want to get back at the devil, when he keeps telling you that you're worthless, just say all day long, just say, the Lord gave his son for me. I'm worth the price of Jesus. Just say it all day long. He'll leave you alone. He will get so wore out. See, people don't realize that is hitting the enemy. You know, Paul talks about not beating the air. What, can you imagine if you're gonna, if a guy shows up to a boxing match and the other guy doesn't show up and he just starts getting in the ring, the bell rings, and he just is hitting the air. Like, who are you fighting? I'm gonna beat this guy. And he's just hitting the air and hitting the air and and round one's over and he sits down and they sponge him down and, you know, there's no marks on you. Wipe the sweat off. I'm going back in. What? But a lot of Christians are doing that because they think the enemy's coming physically when he's not. He's coming with thoughts. And all you have to do is do what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. Speak the word. Okay, let's look at it. Verse 3. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The what of God? The knowledge of God. We're talking about information here. But information is powerful. What is it said? The pen is mightier than the sword. Why? Because you can write words that incite a riot. It's much more effective to try and control. Why do you think the enemy wants to control the media? The masses of people watching what they're watching? They control and filter everything that comes to the people. What do you think's going on? Enemy wants what? He wants to rule this earth. He wants one world government. No, I'm not going to fight the government because I don't got time for that. Besides, none of that's going to happen, I don't believe, until we're out of here. Okay? Now, we could argue on that, but I don't want to. Okay? So, verse 5 says, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every what? Every what? No, Lord, they're demons. You don't understand. I got to light up my sword and go cut devils. No. Taking every what? Thought captive to the obedience of what? Christ. What is Christ? This, right here. This is Christ. The Bible says in the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word is God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying God is stuck in the book, okay? Yeah, everybody's got a little, okay. These are his words, and words carry images. Words carry thoughts. Words carry captivity or deliverance. Words carry faith or fear. So what's the main thought today? The enemy didn't come and beat anybody up. He came in what, Eve? Deceived her mind. So how is the enemy trying to attack you? Your mind. You ever seen somebody that's just super depressed all the time? You know why? Their mind is constantly thinking on dark things. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how you can control your mind and how you can attack back to the enemy. I mean, effectively. How many want to be effective? I don't want to just go through my week like, oh, Lord, please help me make it till Sunday. I want to get to Sunday and go, I got something to give, man. I got faith in me. I ministered to this many people this week while I wasn't in church because I am the church. You see what I'm saying? Because the enemy is after your mind. Don't, let me say this, and I'm going to stop here, but let me say this, okay? Don't, if you're being attacked in thought, don't sit silent. Do you know what I mean by that? If you keep having thoughts come to you like, you're worthless, or you're not going to make it, or you're going to die of this disease, or something is going to go wrong, you're going to be alone for the rest of your life. Well, first of all, God's with you, so you're never alone. Okay? You're never going to amount. Don't sit there and listen to that, and listen to that, and listen to that. If you have to, if you live by yourself, or if you need to get by yourself, go somewhere and declare, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is perfecting me and raising me up and strengthening me and maturing me. I am not afraid because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and assignment. I will not go under. I am blessed financially. The Lord causes me to prosper. I am healed in body because by his stripes, I was healed. The Lord sent his word and he healed me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid of? Well, that person's going to come after you. I know where I'm going when I die. Well, that person doesn't like you. Well, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Well, you're never going to amount to anything. I'm going to amount to everything that God has called me to do. Because he loves me. And perfected love does what? It casts out all fear. Do you know what the word cast out means? It means to throw and not care where it lands. You should just throw fear out and not care where it lands. And the thought will come back to you. Well, what about this? And you go, oh, no, I don't pick those things up. Well, you'll never have the perfect job. I will have the perfect job. It will bless me. My job will be so awesome that I'll wake up every morning going, let's go. Let's do it. Why? What do you think? God's like short-handed or something? He just can't get his arm down to where you are? No. He reaches out his right hand. You don't even know it, but right now, God is talking to people by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to hook up with them, and you're going to land right in the right job. Susan landed in the right job. He knows exactly what he's doing. And you're going to be in the right place at the right time. And in your heart, you'll go, oh, this is it. This is it. This is the one. Does that make sense? So where you're at, just bless him good and declare blessing over it. And then when the new comes, bless him while you leave. And just go on to your next job and enjoy the blessing of God there. I don't know if that's for you, take it. Okay. But man, glory to God. He's trying to get in your head. Why? Because he wants your mouth. Don't speak it. The thing that the Lord said to me during worship was that I would say I had three kids, but I didn't. Heidi did. Okay. But the thing that we always declared was it'd be just a smooth delivery, you know? And that, I don't know why the Lord said it to me like this, but anyway, what he said to me was the delivery will be smooth as butter. Know what I mean? You ever seen a hot knife through butter? You ever tried to spread butter that's hard onto your nice toast? Okay, that's annoying. That noise on the internet is probably going to be annoying. But anyway, but if you have nice, soft butter, it's just smooth. Our last Ian, when he was born, the doctor got done, I think you pushed once. Heidi did. Once. Ian. Just, you know. And And the doctor goes, well, if every delivery were this easy, everybody would want my job. That's what he said. I thought, glory to God, yeah. Right. Just smooth. Right? Glory to God. So this week, let this word govern what you think, say, and do. Father, we just thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for the great weather. Lord, glory to God. We're thankful. Lord, we're thankful for what you're doing in Faith Family Church. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is changing us, transforming the way we think. Father, thank you that you're causing more and more to join with us as we move forward in the plan that you have for Billings and the plan that you have for this church. Father, we're so thankful and grateful for everything you've done. You are so good. You are, as we studied, the best. And you love us, and you want to give us the best, like you showed us in the parable of the prodigal son, Lord. You showed us you want to put a ring on our finger, a robe on our back. You want to put sandals on our feet. We are your sons and daughters. And we know, Lord, that your will is that we enjoy life and life more abundantly. So today, with these scriptures that you've given us in your word, we apply them to our lives, Lord. We will go forth guarding our thoughts, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, capturing the thoughts that are not of you and throwing them away from us by declaring your word over them in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. We'll be here next Sunday, 10 a.m.